Okay, so we're just going to have a look at using cloud-based virtual machines to build community around open source projects. As we know, open source projects, the community is critical to the success of a project. Typically, community members will go from just passing by to evaluating the community, to using it, to contributing and committing. So a passerby will typically go to the website of the project. In this case, we're looking at Apache Solr, and they'll say to themselves, "Oh, that looks kind of interesting," and this is just making sure the web is useful to them. But then they need to move on to evaluating, and typically what will happen is they'll find a tutorial and they'll follow through. But we can do better than that. We can provide a pre-configured machine for them that's already up and running. And what we're seeing here is the use of the Microsoft Azure Management Portal to fire up a virtual machine, in this case Ubuntu. And then once we've created that virtual machine, we'll be able to install the software that we want, in this case Apache Solr, and show that running. And that will be hosted permanently for passerbys to come along and evaluate our tool. And as you can see from this video, it's really simple to create a base Linux install or a Windows install. In this case, we're creating a Linux install. It's a four-step process. Few bits of information needed, such as where you want the virtual machine to be hosted, etc. And then once you've created the virtual machine or defined it, you need to say, "Okay, open up these ports on the machine," so that we can access the Solr instance that we're later going to install. You can, of course, fill out these ports later on, and we'll have a look a little bit later at how you can do that. But we've completed the form now, and we're going to tell it to fire up that virtual machine, which takes a short amount of time. Once it has fired up, we can just log into the virtual machine with the tools that we would normally use and go through the installation process. Now, this installation process is what the end user, or sorry, the passerby, would normally have to do themselves, and they would follow through on the instructions of the project. And this can take some time. It can often be error prone. And this is a point at which we often lose people. These commands that we're typing into here, we know them. We're a part of the project. We know how it works. But these passers-by don't, and they've got to go and find a machine that they can configure with the necessary prerequisites. They need to install it. They need to follow through the documentation, which often will be full of holes because there's certain assumptions made when people write documentation for complete newbies. In fact, when I was recording this screencast, I tried two other Apache projects before going to Solr and working with Solr. I failed on the other two because their installation instructions were wrong. So had I been a passerby wanting to start evaluating, I'd have been out the loop by that time. So here we've configured the machine, and we're just logging into the machine now, and we will see the Solr interface. There it is. It's running in Azure. It's ready to go. In this case, we're seeing something that the average passerby would come across. There's nothing for me to index here. There's nothing for me to work with. So there's yet more setup needed before the passerby can actually evaluate what Solr does. And again, they've got to go find the appropriate documentation, follow through, and implement this. But for a developer, if they do this process just once, you then have an evaluation machine up and running permanently. Now, of course, it costs money to have a machine running in the cloud. The good news is that for many open source communities, Microsoft will provide MSDN subscriptions, which provide enough Azure subscription time to provide demo machines like this for an average-sized project. But now you can see we have a search facility for Solr, and we can see results. So that's this first stage of what we're talking about here. We're grabbing the passerby, and we're making it very, very easy for them to evaluate. They can go to the system and say, "Oh yeah, this looks fairly good." Now, a typical person evaluating wants to go a step further. They want to actually customize and use the product, and a shared evaluation copy like the other one isn't good. So what we're looking at here is a thing called VMDepot. VM Depot is a repository of community-managed virtual machines. It's hosted and provided by Microsoft Open Technologies. Once you've created a virtual machine like the previous one, you're then able to upload that to VM Depot. And from VM Depot, users can then deploy into their own Azure subscriptions. So what we're seeing here is the steps required to create a VM Depot image. It's really simple, it's documented, and we'll help walk people through it if necessary. But essentially what you need to do is deprovision the machine, which takes away the root password and things like that. Then shut the machine down and take a snapshot image of it. Once you have a snapshot image available, then you make it publicly readable. And these are the steps that we're going through at the moment. We have deprovision, that's what happens in the command line. And we're now taking a snapshot image of that virtual machine. And in a moment, we'll make the blob that's been created with that image in it a public image. We can then go to VM Depot, fill out a simple form, point it towards that virtual machine image that we've just created. We're just finding the URL for it at the moment on the interface here. Once we have that URL, we can start filling in the form over on VM Depot. Oh, sorry, my apologies. We're not finding the URL. We're first of all making it a public blob. That's so that VM Depot can read it. Of course, by default, blobs are made private to keep your information private. In this case, though, we want to share it publicly. Now we're getting the URL. And we'll use that URL in VM Depot in a few moments. Once we've published to VM Depot, we can actually delete this image. There is no need to keep that image on. Microsoft Open Technologies will pay for the ongoing hosting of that image. So here we are filling in the form. It's a very simple form, very little detail. And there we go, we're off. Once we've done that, people are able to pull down that image, or rather deploy that image to Azure, and they have their own system that they can log into, index files, and work with. But what about moving users into being contributors? Well, to do that, we need to provide a development environment. What we've done on that previous image is we've provided a binary blob. So what we're going to do now is use a tool called Vagrant, and what's happening in the screencast here is we're installing two sets of tools. One is Vagrant, and one in this case, what we're seeing right now, is Git Bash. Now, I use Git Bash because I want to version control these things, and I'll be using Git. Also, I want Bash because that gives me my SSH. You can use any tools you want, though. The one tool that you need is Vagrant that we were just looking at there. Once we have Vagrant, which is a system for managing virtual machines and development environments, we need to create a directory and then initialize using a base Linux, in this case Ubuntu, distribution. And that's what we just did there. And then we're going to bring that virtual machine up, which we've just done. Now what this does is gives us a local virtual machine with a shared folder to the host. We're just demonstrating that on the screen at the moment, that we can log into the virtual machine, make changes to the file system, and then when we go back into the host, we can see those same files. And what this means is that we can provide a development environment on the virtual machine managed by Vagrant. We can use version control, which is what's happening here, to manage that and keep those in the open source project files so they can be managed by all the developers. But when somebody deploys this virtual machine in their own development environment, they can use their own preferred tools on whatever platform, Windows, Linux, Mac, etc. Now what we just did was just a base install of Linux. What we actually need is we need to install Solr. So what's happening here is we're going to use Vagrant to provision that virtual machine with the Solr installation. Now the steps that are going into this bash script that's being written at the moment are exactly the same steps that we did earlier manually when we created the Azure image. And that's important because all of these steps that we're doing here, which can be shared through version control because they're just text files, can be used to reproduce that Azure image, as well as reproduce the VM Depot image, as well as provide a pre-configured development environment for users who want to become contributors. So this is all goodness, this is all great. Now, the interesting thing about Vagrant is that you don't have to use shell scripts like this. You could use Puppet, you could use Chef or Ansible or Salt or any other configuration management tools. And that would then also give you the opportunity to provide basic configuration systems for deployment. So what you're doing is adding value to your project in many different ways. You're ensuring that all developers are using the same environment. You're ensuring that you can easily provide evaluation virtual machines for passers-by. You can easily provide one-on-one evaluation machines from repositories like VMDepot. And you can also provide the basic infrastructure for people deploying. Now, if you wanted to do the last step, the deployment, you would likely want to use Puppet or Chef or any of the other configuration management tools. And of course, they all work with Vagrant and Hyper-V as we're using here. Now, this last step here, we're just telling Vagrant where to find the file that we're going to use to provision. In this case, it's the bash script that we just wrote a moment ago. And once we've done that, we can reload that virtual machine using Vagrant, and it will do the configuration for us. It will provide us with the same virtual machine that we were showing earlier on, but on this occasion, it's all done automatically for us. We write the script once, and everything is up and running and working for us. So it's just running through the provision process here, and in a moment we'll be able to log into this machine, and on this occasion it won't be running in Azure as it was doing before. It's running on our local virtual machine, so there's the IP number of the virtual machine. We log in, and in a moment we will see the same interface that we saw on the cloud demo earlier on. Here we go. Okay, but on this occasion, we haven't yet configured it to have the documents indexed. Of course, we could add that to the shell script. Okay, so now the user's ready to go. They can fire that up quickly. So we now have one-on-one user evaluation. But what next? What else can we do? Well, if that user wants to become a contributor, they don't want just the binary blobs, which is what we've done here. They want actually to have the latest version control. They want the source code. So what's going to happen now is we're going to modify that script and say, okay, if you want to transition from being a user to a contributor, rather than pulling out the latest binary release, let's pull the latest source code from version control, build it, and run that locally. So now we've providing a consistent VM to work in, but we're automating the pulling down of the latest bits of source code for people. So we're taking away yet another step of having to pour through the documentation and set up my environment, etc. With just a little bit of editing on the shell script, once we've completed this, it would be just changing what lines were commented out. Of course, we could make it an interactive shell script that asks the user, what do they want to run from the latest release, or do they want to run from source code? All this makes it very, very easy for us as an open source software community to produce materials that support our users at every stage of development. In this case, at the transition from being a user of a binary release to a contributor of a release of a customized version using local source code. So we've modified the shell script, and we're just going to reprovision that virtual machine. Once it's done, which I edited out of the video, we go back to the deployed virtual machine, and we're now using the 5.0 developer release. So there we have it. We've taken a passerby, we've attracted them with our website, we've very quickly moved them on to using a cloud-based solution, which doesn't require them to do any setup to evaluate the code itself. We've then provided that same image as a virtual machine image that they can download from a repository of virtual machines like VMDepot. That enables them to do their own indexing with their own files in their own environment and tweak the binary distribution in any way that they can to see if it suits their needs. They could take that and put it out into deployment if they wanted to, or they could go to the next stage and they could start working with the source code release and fixing bugs or adding features or basically becoming a code contributor. By using Vagrant, we've ensured that we automate this process, that we make it as easy as possible for the contributor, for the user, but also we make it possible for our committers to manage that infrastructure, to manage what we're providing there. And we can use these tools as part of our release process. These same tools that make development easier can also be used to create the images that we were using earlier on. And finally, on our virtual machine, we could also create test environments, we could create connections to external services with test data, etc. There's all sorts of things that we can do. We're kind of limitless here. So using these tools, things like Vagrant and the cloud of virtual machine images, we can create significant value to the open source community. Okay. Thanks a lot. I hope you enjoy these ideas, and please let us know how you put them into practice and how we can improve on these kinds of videos. Thank you.